Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Hi, T.
Hey, Mom, how you doing?
Good. What have you been up to?
You know, not much. It is now warm enough to do some gardening, so I've set myself to doing that. Every couple of years, I put down a bunch of compost from Black Earth Compost on like my lawn and my gardens, which makes it, it makes them super healthy and is much more sustainable than some of the alternatives. And also, I planted a bunch of bulbs last fall, and they're finally starting to
pop up.
Yeah. I love bulbs because they come out so much earlier than everything else. And so when you are in this like waiting game of, hey, it's spring, but like leaves haven't leafed out yet or whatever.
April showers. Waiting for May flowers.
We can maybe get some like April flowers or at least April leaves, right? You just want some color out there.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty, pretty fun to watch. And we'll see. I think I'll probably plant some more this fall to like give my, to really like work on that early spring garden.
That's good.
Yeah. So this month we're talking about historic homes, and this week we're talking about preservation versus renovation. And so let's talk about what exactly you can do with a historic home. So for example, like how can modern upgrades like energy efficiency improvements or smart home technology be integrated into historic homes without compromising their character?
Excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, there are many people that changed the guts of a historic home.
Mm-hmm.
Heating systems, plumbing, electrical, the old knob and tube goes away. But I think those people who are hoping to preserve the historic home try to keep the physical part of the home, like wood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like the visible stuff.
The visible things.
Yeah.
Older kitchen cabinets. They don't do sleek modern ones. Mm-hmm. They try to keep the character throughout the whole house, even in bathrooms, you know, mm-hmm. vanities that are a little bit more interesting, or mm-hmm. they could be kind of antiques that they convert into a vanity
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to keep the character going.
Yeah. I mean, I think this focus on the guts of the house is really important, right? Like nobody says, oh my God, you pulled the knob and tube out of your old home. Like
right.
you ruined the historic value, right?
Right?
No one says that. And so, okay, you can extrapolate from there that like, okay, if we're willing to upgrade the electrical, how about like the insulation, right? That's probably worth upgrading. Or, you know, the heating systems, you know, nobody complains that, hey, you put like a modern heating system instead of like a coal-fired one
yes,
in your
exactly.
In your home. So I think guts are totally fair game. But then you get to parts that are like kind of on the bubble, right? So let's talk about like windows, right? So windows are pretty integral to what makes a historic home historic because they affect the exterior of the home, which is usually like the most important from at least a regulatory standpoint of like what counts as preserving the home. And also on the interior side, you know, a lot of these historic homes were designed with certain views in mind. Right. So when you start touching the windows, you start impacting the historicity of it.
It's a problem because the old historic windows are single pane.
Yeah.
And right. oftentimes people want to keep them because the glass that was done historically has a waviness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a decorative feature.
Exactly.
As well as a practical feature.
Yeah. But then it just like bleeds heat out, right?
It's like, and then you got to be, you know, so yeah. What do you do about merging kind of energy efficiency
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and historic practicality?
Right. I think where I've seen people make the most progress on that without just spending a bunch of money is storm windows. Like most people are kind of like, they feel like that's the right trade-off between efficiency and preserving the historic character. I mean, obviously, if you want to spend like infinite money on your house, you could replace all the windows with like custom made replicas, right? That are double paned and whatever artistic elements you want to them. But that's kind of not practical for most people.
It's interesting because I had MassSave come into my home, which is a 1908 home, and evaluate just that because I have part of the home has all the original windows.
Yeah.
And which are single pane and have ropes attached and, you know, the kind of the old classic ones. And they actually recommended not getting the new windows, but in fact, putting a storm window over from the outside to keep the look there, but using a storm window, which would bring the efficiency up, but keep the original window in the house.
Totally. The other one that I think is really tricky is kitchens. And I'll say, I'll put bathrooms on like second tier challenges, but like kitchens on a lot of these homes were just built for a really, really different lifestyle, right? If you, like they were either built in a house where you had servants, right? And so the kitchen was a like 100% functional space, like not us, you know, no more conducive to like human thriving than like a factory floor.
Yeah. Well, there just wasn't space for everybody to join in and be together.
Right. Because that wasn't the idea. You had
that
like
was
a
not
maid,
the idea.
Right? Cooking everything. So, you know, you got to walk this fine line of now we use kitchens as like gathering spaces, family spaces, workspaces, even just like hangout spaces. So that's where you get, that is to me where you get like architects and kitchen designers who can really like get into the weeds of your particular kitchen because there is no right answer. It's not like, oh, just like keep the cabinets and you're good to go, right?
It's interesting too, because when I was redoing my kitchen in a 1908 house, I chose to add in some features to preserve kind of the history of it. Mm-hmm. And I found somebody in Littleton, Mass, who did renovations of old appliances. So I was able to incorporate into a modern kitchen a stove from 1914, a Victory Crawford stove that he retrofitted. And so it's the heart of my kitchen, although the kitchen has obviously been enlarged and has different functions.
Yeah.
I still have a feel of the history.
What's that guy's name? We should give him a shout out.
Dave.
Dave
in Littleton.
Dave in Littleton. Is that what I have to Google to find him?
He actually works out at the train station. And when you go into the train station, there are piles and piles and piles of pieces of that he puts together. It's he's a miracle worker.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Transformers where everything's broken apart and then they pile them up together and they become amazing things.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
But it's pretty interesting.
Very cool. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll take a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
Mom, based on your experience, are historic homes harder to sell compared to other properties?
I would say it depends how historic. Something that might be an antique from like 1700s where the ceilings are low, the rooms are small, are very different than a 1900s, more of the Victorian, more of the open, big, tall colonials with tall ceilings. So I think it depends on the age and the location, because many antiques were placed on busy roads.
Yeah.
And some people are not willing, as much as they love the house, they want something not on a busy road.
Yeah. I think what you're getting at, which I agree with, is I don't think the historic nature itself is what makes it harder to sell. It's these other things that are true about any house, no matter whether they're historic or not. Like,
correct.
They tend to be on busy roads. They tend to have like lower ceilings, right? And so those, that doesn't matter what era it was built in, that's just harder to sell.
Correct.
And if you have a house that checks all the right boxes, like Victorian, high ceilings, in a nice neighborhood, like, no, that thing, that might actually be easier to sell. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.